Hi, this is Clay Inferno, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great. I Think This Is Great! Exclamation point with Clay Inferno is the full name of the show. And it's an interview podcast about people doing and being their best. We talk about doing compassionate work, making books, working on teams, getting over hurdles, doing great things, even when the chips are down and you just, frankly, don't want to do anything. It's a little bit of a tech podcast. But mostly, this is an interview show where I talk to some of the most fascinating people that have come into my life. And hopefully I get to meet some new friends along the way. So welcome, and please let me know what you think of I Think This Is Great with Clay Inferno by joining the conversation on social media with the hashtag ITTIGpod. Or you can reach out to me directly at CLAYNFERNO, Clay Inferno. There is no I in that Inferno, at Clay Inferno, clayinferno.com. But you are here at ithinkthisisgreat.com. So do me a favor, once the show launches, please go on to iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts and leave me a rating. And please spread the word. I want people to know about the show and the amazing people that I have on it. So we will see you on the internet.
This is LJ, and I think this is great.
Hey, this is Luke O'Neill, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great.
I think your business is great, and I think you're listening to Clay Fernal. Wait, that was backwards.
I'm going to use that one.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Training. Proud to present No Borders, No Links, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your king, baby, Doc Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in, and I do hope I'm coming in far better this time around. As you may recall, last week, my Blue Spark microphone just up and died on me, which forced me to go back and record my show using my old HyperX Cloud 2 headset. And, of course, the quality was as different as night and day, and the whole mic dying on me just killed any sort of enthusiasm I had to record. I was legit phoning it in, and I'm sorry that you had to deal with that, but after a short trip to Guitar Center and plopping down $6, I had a much needed filter on my Blue Yeti mic, which I hope takes care of most of these background noises you might hear from time to time, especially the hum of my mini fridge. But I'm fully back in the swing of things, ready to kick loads of ass and take some names, especially the names listed here on this week's playlist, which we shall dive right into here and now. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and would like to support these artists, you can find all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, Yes Asia, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record stores. We're going to start things off with a new track from The Malice. They successfully kickstarted their latest album, Gate, which hit stores on October 12th, and will be touring America again beginning this month. Here's the opening track from Gate, and it's aptly titled, Hello, Hello.
Give it to us, keep the chin and love.
The Roars of heavy metal electric eel shark with Sekonomi Boge from their most recent album, Sweet Generation. On December 13th, you can catch Electric Eel Shock sharing the stage with Bo Peep and Bob Boone at the Live Labo Yoyogi in Shibuya. So if you're looking for a kick-ass show while vacationing in Japan for the holidays, well, you won't find a better one to choose from. It's no secret that there's a lot of anime to choose from each season, so naturally, some fall from our radar and into obscurity. However, there's always a chance here and there to visit a show if time allows it, and fortunately for me, such an occasion occurred when I gained interest in watching the Winter 2018 anime series After the Rain. Now, some of you may have read my review of the manga's first volume by now, as I praised its story writing, characters, and beautiful art. And Wit Studio, the same guys who did Attack on Titan and The Ancient Magus' Bride, were the ones who brought the anime version to life. So, I won't go too deep into the anime adaptation, as I don't want to spoil some of the later aspects of it, but the tale of 17-year-old Akira and 45-year-old Kondo isn't just about a high school girl falling in love with her much older boss. As you watch through this series, you discover that the show is really about rediscovering lost passions and dreams. Akira's injury keeps her from returning to the track, whereas Kondo struggles to be a full-fledged writer as he juggles raising his son and managing the restaurant. And as they push back their passions, the world around them becomes a bit more cloudier each day. But it's the way that they both support one another that slowly pushes them out of the fog. Akira falls in love with Kondo because he finds a way to lift her spirits up after hitting rock bottom. In return, Kondo discovers his motivation again after rekindling his youth via the meetups that he and Akira have. And despite the whole age gap thing, never once is it presented as something gross. In fact, Kondo makes the initiative to have the two just be friends despite Akira's growing desires. And the rest of the show, while not trying to spoil too much about it, focuses more on them rediscovering their dreams through plenty of hardships and self-realizations. And I gotta say, After the Rain is one of this year's biggest surprises, both in manga and anime, as it takes the romantic angle that was the main focus of the show, then puts it on the back burner halfway through and turns it into a show about chasing lost dreams. You know, it's a Noitamina anime after all, so it's gonna be one show in the beginning and another one towards the end. And I highly recommend you either read it through Vertical Comics' this release or watch it on Amazon Prime. Honestly, I haven't watched a show or read a manga in this genre that has legit wowed me the way this one did. So please check out After the Rain if you can. Alright, back to the playlist. Here's a hard rocking track from K. Michelle Dubois that calls back to the alt-rock 90s scene fronted by the likes of Alanis Morissette and Garbage. From her upcoming album Harness, in stores on October 12th, this is Heart Like a Yardstick.
Make this this pop culture saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings, digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
The always exciting Soil and Pimp Sessions with Deform Reform off of this year's brilliant album, Dapper, this past summer had the Kings of Death Jazz spraying their sound across Europe and will be playing a handful of shows back in Japan near the end of October. Now up next, we have the iconic J-pop singer Yuki, who has just dropped a new single for all of us here to enjoy. This is Tramere.
May the wind be your at your back or I'll stay the night through you. May the wind be always at your back or I'll stay the night through you.
Different from our usual alternative sound, that was Whiskey Moon Face with When These Bones. You can grab their latest album, Parspermia, on October 12th. But those in the London area can catch them play the album in its entirety on October 6th at the Gresham Centra. Show starts at 7 p.m. with tickets going for about £11. I'll be blunt. The unexpected shutting down of Telltale Games left me, as well as a few of my friends in the business, in shock. The award-winning developers behind The Walking Dead, Tales from the Borderlands, and Minecraft Story Mode helped to revive the adventure game genre that the likes of Sierra and LucasArts brought forth to the gaming world in the 80s and 90s. While not every game they made was great, Game of Thrones and Jurassic Park being a couple of stinkers that stick out, the overall work of Telltale Games was very good. More great adventures than bad, I'd say. But the fact that they decided to shut down while the final season of The Walking Dead is left incomplete, a season that's supposed to show everyone what happens to Clementine after all that she went through, leaves a really bad taste in my mouth. This especially after Telltale Games started selling a physical version of the game before it was all completed, not to mention sold a season pass for digital sellers. The people who bought these just got royally fucked. Yes, there are talks of getting those final two episodes completed, but I can't help but think that bringing in outside developers, it's just going to straight up destroy whatever the original team was planning to do. For now, I cannot help but think of everyone who wound up being let go of Telltale Games out of the blue. There are some pretty talented folks that have helped to bring these titles to life, and for them to not get any sort of severance and, on top of that, lose their health benefits and be unable to collect on unemployment, it sucks. It brings to mind what happened to the Evolution Studios team a couple of months ago, where Sony first disbanded it, and then Codemasters picked them up, and then they cut them right after their excellent Onrush game was launched. The same can be said about Capcom's Vancouver studio that made the Dead Rising games. They also were shut down out of the blue, and I'm pretty sure a lot of those people that were working there, they are not going to be getting any severance or health benefits or unemployment. You know what? Honestly, this sort of bullshit in the gaming industry just has to stop. I'm so goddamn sick and tired of hearing about companies pushing their employees to the brink of exhaustion, only have them let go after they work their tailbones off to make a quality product. It sucks when AAA devs do it, and it's especially saddening to see indie studios now pulling these sorts of stunts. I believe that a game should be released when it's ready. No deadlines, no pushing around employees towards passing out during work, nothing of the sort. This goes for every place of employment, not just the gaming industry, and I'm going to spell it out for you. Employers should treat their employees like people, not cogs in their corporate machine. And I think it's high time many of these developers start standing up to their bosses and start making some demands that are not just reasonable, but also attempt to show some sort of proof that these CEOs and presidents are legit people and not soulless concubines fueled by greed. If the voice acting industry can go on strike on the gaming industry and get what they want, so should the people making their actual games. I am fucking sick and tired of seeing so many talented people let go out of the blue. It needs to stop. Please, gaming industry, get your shit together, start treating your employees like people, and stop unexpectedly firing some very, very hardworking individuals. They're the ones that are making your game good, not you, okay? And that is all I need to say about that for the time being. Maybe one day I'll revisit this. Who knows? For now, though, it blows that Telltale Games went bankrupt. It sucks for their employees. It sucks for every single employee in the gaming industry that was unceremoniously let go. It just sucks. Okay, why don't we go back to some music? The duo of Tom Hack and Masayoshi Oishi have been rocking out anime theme songs in their Ox guise for a few years now. But they are finally releasing an album. It's called Hello New World, and from that album is a ditty known as One Hand Message.
Come on, let's go! everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Oh,
A B-side via the Jewelry single, that was singer and seiyu Sayari Hayame with Kohakuto. This fall you can catch Hayami in three different anime series, in Radiant as Almina Baglior, Release the Spice as Dolte, and Double Decker, Doug and Krill as Dina Del Rio. I actually watched the first episode of that show. It's fantastic. I can't wait to see more of it. And right now we're going to check out a classic track from Bauhaus co-founder David J's 1985 album Crocodile Tears in the Velvet Kosh, which was given a vinyl re-release earlier this month. He's currently on tour with his Bauhaus friend Peter Murphy, whom I hope is now cool with people enjoying a tasty burger during one of his gigs. Here now is David J with Renee.
Recalling past years, we were talking to the moon. Sing some coffee, carnation and a bottle of spoon. Spider webs strung on the walls, old stories. White girls crying, daybreak soon. I slept on my elbows. He told his tales. A chain of black cats smoldering, staining his fingernails. Told me of Pavlova, check off Berlin and bread. He handed me a photo, his wife on the same poster. A fallen leaf in winter, an artist, a shot down star. Here is a lot of painting, a flag up on from travels afar. His face yellow against the cobalt blue. Still an escapee from dread. Somewhere a dancer steps on a starry floor. The music is silver bird song. A light glows from behind a door. The dancer becomes the music. He becomes the stars in the floor. Opens the door, becomes the light. The light lasts for. Everything in his room had turned to gold with age. Dusting of the manuscript, reading from the fading page. Truth, hope, passion, anger, love, despair. Like hungry birds freed from a cage, his words would fill the air. We'll be right back.
fantastic instrumental from Bloodthirsty Butchers. That was This Is Music from their Banging the Drum album. While the band may never resume their duties after the death of frontman Hideki Yoshimura back in 2013, a tribute to the group did occur at this year's Rising Sun Rock Festival, featuring members of the band plus guests from Eastern Youth, Slang, and My Hair Is Bad. It'd be nice if the group can find a way to continue, even though trying to replace a vocalist like Yoshimura is a task that definitely is easier said than done. One of the most unique rock voices in Japan still feels like there's a big hole in the music industry without him there. It's rare for me to go into a movie without knowing a single thing about it, which is what I wound up doing when I saw Paul Feig's latest film, A Simple Favor. A bit of a different kind of film from the stuff he usually does, like Bridesmaids and Spy, the movie instead takes a more murder mystery route, with Anna Kendrick attempting to discover what happened to her newfound friend, played by Blake Lively. And as she keeps turning over stones, the ones behind her suddenly start rolling back into position. Now, what makes A Simple Favor a great film is how it makes its viewers conflict their feelings for the characters on screen. At one moment, you feel bad watching what happens, and then you start to hate the people on the big screen, and then you want to root for the best outcome for everyone, only to stare in disgust at some of the events unfolding on the big screen. And then finally, the film places in one final surprise that just makes the whole turmoil of sitting through the more seat-squirming incidents all the more worth it. And that's what makes A Simple Favor a great movie to watch, because every moment that hits the screen is one big surprise after another. Again, you go through so many emotions while watching this film, from hope and despair to even outright hatred. Rarely has a movie made me feel every sort of emotion while watching it. It's sad, funny, shocking, smart, makes you feel good, makes you feel bad, and it just throws everything at you with a sinister smirk and a pair of caring eyes. With that being said, the one bad thing about A Simple Favor is that it may weaken with repeated viewings. Once you watch it, you can't unsee the solutions that pop out. Perhaps you start eyeing for clues as to how it all turns out after reviewing, but it just does not feel the same as when you bore witness to the turns during a first-time viewing. Other than that, that's probably the only flaw this film had. Great acting, fantastic soundtrack, and a very unpredictable script makes A Simple Favor definitely worth watching. And yes, Paul Feig, we can now forgive you for what you tried to do with Ghostbusters. There, we can now put that to rest too and move on with our lives. And we can especially move on by returning to our current playlist. Up next, we have Fauna with a selection from this year's wonderful album, World Atlas. This is Calling.
Okay. Robert, why should people listen to another retro gaming podcast?
You mean our cast, David? We do have to keep this short, you know.
Yes, well, I guess we should start with the fact we celebrate old-school video games.
And we have awesome guests and game giveaways. Don't forget that.
Plus our game show and your favorite segment, Random Select.
Don't remind me. Are we done yet?
Listen to our cast, another retro gaming podcast, part of RetroZap.com.
Finally, back to my beer.
Stitches laying by the side of the road. I was a long time gone, slipping off my britches, feeling like it's hard to go home. Yeah, feeling like it's hard to go home. And in this dream, built it comes a Sherman, glowered at the foot of my bed.
I'll Be Your Girl, that was The Decemberists with We All Die Young. The Portland, Oregon-based band is in the midst of a U.S. tour with a stop this Friday in Boston at the Orpheum Theater. I am very excited about this gig. Gonna be my first time seeing them live, as every other time they came to Boston, it conflicted with Anime Boston. So thank you, Colin Malloy, for not doing that again. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. you can follow me on Twitter and the J-Pop, Video Games, and Anime Amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBastardBrigade and on Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smashed Rook. Promotional consideration for this week's tracks from K. Michelle Dubois and David J., made by Shameless Promotion PR, and the track from Whiskey Moon Face was made possible by High Violet PR and Plugging, and a very special thank you to The Swagger for contributing to last week's Shameless Tuesdays. On the next episode of Wicked Anime, we chat about what we're looking forward to this fall anime season, and why Avatar The Last Airbender might not need another live-action adaptation after that train wreck of a movie. That's all coming up on this Thursday's episode on the Nerdy Show site, and wherever podcasts get their podcast on. We're going to end things with a band that I've heard about for many years, but have never featured on this show. They are called Rookies Is Punk. And their music has been featured in such shows as Bleach, Da 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 Da, and Blue Exorcist. They just released their second album entitled The Sun Also Rises, and from that record is Wake Your Mind Up, Get Your Loss Back. Until next time, this is your King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
Manocas.
guys. This is your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo, from the Electric Sisterhood, and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bastard Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.